a water bearer in India, had two large pots, each hung on opposite ends of a pole that he carried around his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other was perfect. The latter always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house. The cracked pot arrived only half full. Every day for a full 2 years, the water bearer delivered only 1.5 pots of water. The perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, because it fulfilled magnificently the purpose for which it had been made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its imperfection, miserable that it was only able to accomplish half of what it had been made to do. After the second year of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, the unhappy pot spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. "I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you," the pot said. "Why?" asked the bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "I have been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house, to my master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all this work, and you don't get full value from your efforts," the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, "As we return to the master's house, I would rather you notice those beautiful flowers along the path." Indeed, as they went up the hill, the cracked pot took notice of the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the path, bright in the sun's glow, and the sight cheered him up a bit. But at the end of the trail, it still felt bad that he had leaked out half of his load. And so again, it apologized to the bearer for its failure. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, not on the other pot's side?" "That is because I have always known about your flaw and I have taken advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day as we walked back from the stream, you have watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have had this beauty to grace his house." Would you open your Bible or look at your Bible there, Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read beginning with verse 38. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" The temptation when reading this story is simply to say to those who consider themselves Marthas to be more like Marys. Because when we read this story, oftentimes we feel more guilty that we don't do what Mary did and find ourselves drifting towards what Martha does far more naturally. And in fact, the people around us would rather we be more Marthas than Marys. Mary needed time with Jesus, and so did her sister. Jesus needed this time too. He needed someone to listen. Ellen White says that this home was a home that he frequented when he was in the area because it was a place of refuge for him. He was on his way to someplace else, and it was Jerusalem that he was going to, where he would be facing a very hostile reception. He was exhausted from the ministry that he had done just prior to this time, and that's why he was going by their house. Dealing with the sophistry and the criticisms and the confusions of the Pharisees was a very tiring thing for him. And occasionally, even Jesus was tried by the pettiness and the slow thinking of his disciples. So he needed some time too. They did, to grow through the words that he might share with them. And he did, to have someone who would listen on occasion. In Jesus' presence, we find the purpose that we need for ourselves today. Like the cracked pot, realizing that I am already in the midst of fulfilling what he may want for me today. Our disappointments are very, very much like Martha's, though. Our agitations and our distractions we can very, very much relate to, as she talks about them. One of those distractions is the presumption to know or to predict the outcome of a particular endeavor. We like to live with expectations. You know how hard it is to live with expectations because they have a nasty habit of not happening. And yet we still have them. We form them and then we make our plans in order to try to make them happen. One of the most difficult professions in the world is that of being a preacher, because preachers often believe that they can make a difference in someone else's life. Preachers get depressed when their most telling remarks fall flat. And as one preacher wrote, our most unrehearsed and immature thoughts bear fruit. People's lives are changed by casual sayings they misunderstand or mishear. Therapists give advice to patients, to clients, about a problem the patient doesn't really have. Infuriating the client enough to go home and to take charge and take action and fix the real problem. A minister was being chased by a ferocious tiger. He was running as fast as he could until he came to the edge of a cliff. He noticed that there was a rope tied to a tree dangling over the side of the cliff. So he decided to shimmy down that rope away from the tiger as fast as he could go. As he was making his way down the rope, he noticed that 500 feet below him was a big jagged rock. He looked up, and there was the tiger now poised at the edge of the cliff. Just then, two mice began to chew on the rope. So what would he do? Well, as luck would have it, there on the face of the cliff was a wild strawberry plant growing. He reached out, he pulled off a strawberry, he put it into his mouth, and then he said out loud to no one in particular, "Yum, yum, that is the best strawberry I've ever eaten." If he had been preoccupied with the rock below his future, or the tiger above his past, he would have missed the strawberry that only comes in the present moment. There are things right in front of you that you don't pay attention to, that you don't give their full weight because of the distraction about hoping and wanting and working towards something else to happen. That was one of the things that Martha was focused on. A second thing that she seemed to be focused on is she seemed to have one eye on the food and one eye on her sister, comparing herself to someone else. When we do that, we often grow discontented. Discontented with ourselves, discontented with someone else, because neither is exactly what we expect, what we want. We know how things are supposed to be, We know how they are supposed to be and how we are supposed to be, but we all often fall short. From infancy, we are taught to compare ourselves. I was recently introduced to a reality TV show that I can't even remember the title of what seemed like 5 and 6 years old in a beauty pageant. All of them competing in order to be better than the others. Most of the time, though, in the midst of filming or shooting this pageant, a lot of time is given to the parents, who are highly competitive. Their child is going to win. And it's amazing over time how much the children become like their parents, equally competitive. We test and test and test our children at earlier ages. And when they get older, we test them again. We learn to compete out on a ball field, against each other in classes, sometimes at work, periodically even in a church. We compare ourselves. And when we do that, we often rob ourselves of the gifts that God has given us, not necessarily someone else. Narcissism will often creep in, and the ego will replace self-forgetfulness, and instead we think of ourselves. We move from wonder and gratitude to self-absorption. Israel Schwartz was sad one day because he compared himself to a Bible character, Moses, and found himself wanting. Until an angel appeared to him one night and said, "On Judgment Day, Yahweh will not ask you why you are not Moses. He will ask you why you are not his beloved Izzy." Even the faults and weaknesses that you abhor in yourself are fodder for God's activity. All things work together for the good of those who love God, even our failures and mistakes and our shortcomings. Because in his presence, in the midst of those shortcomings, he is able to speak a word to us. And that word is used to heal us and also used to heal someone else. I like the way one author put it, "God utters to me a word that contains a partial thought of himself to share." We wait on God like Mary does, so that we can hear what he has to say to us. We want to believe very much that God has entrusted each of us with what we need in order to live life to the full. So Mary or Martha? I want to close with a story. A story I read in Reader's Digest. A story written by an Adventist pastor. Once there was a boy who lived in a big house on a hill. He loved dogs and horses, sports cars and music. He climbed trees and went swimming, played football and admired pretty girls. Except for having to pick up after himself, he had a nice life. One day the boy said to God, "I've been thinking and I know what I want when I become a man." "What?" asked God. "I want to live in a big house with a porch across the front and 2 St. Bernards and a garden out back. I want to marry a woman who is tall and very beautiful and kind, who has long black hair and blue eyes, and who plays the guitar and sings in a clear, high voice. I want 3 sons, strong sons, to play football with. When they grow up, one will be a great scientist, one will be a senator, and the youngest quarterback for the 49ers. I want to be an adventurer who sails vast oceans and climbs tall mountains and rescues people. and I want to drive a red Ferrari and never have to pick up after myself. That sounds like a nice dream, said God. I want you to be happy. One day, playing football, the boy hurt his knee. After that, he couldn't climb tall mountains or even tall trees, much less sail vast oceans. So he studied marketing and started a medical supplies business. He married a girl who was very beautiful and very kind and who had long black hair. But she was short, not tall, and had brown eyes, not blue. She couldn't play the guitar or even sing. But she prepared wonderful meals seasoned with rare Chinese spices and painted magnificent pictures of birds. Because of his business, he lived in a city near the top of a tall apartment building that overlooked the blue ocean and the city's twinkling lights. He didn't have room for two Saint Bernards, but he had a fluffy cat. He had three daughters, all very beautiful. The youngest, who was in a wheelchair, was the loveliest. The three daughters loved their father very much. They didn't play football with him, but sometimes they went to the park and tossed a frisbee, except for the youngest, who sat under a tree strumming her guitar and singing lovely, haunting songs. He made enough money to live comfortably, but he didn't drive a red Ferrari. Sometimes he had to pick up things and put them away, because he had three daughters. Then one morning, the man awoke and remembered his childhood dream. I am very sad, he said to his best friend. Why? Asked his friend. Because I once dreamed of marrying a tall woman with black hair and blue eyes who would play the guitar and sing. My wife can't play the guitar or sing. She has brown eyes and she's not tall. Your wife is very beautiful and very kind, said his friend. She creates splendid pictures and delectable food. But the man wasn't listening. I'm very sad, the man confessed to his wife one day. Why? Asked his wife. Because I once dreamed of living in a big house with a porch and of having two Saint Bernards and a garden out back. Instead, I live in an apartment on the 47th floor. Our apartment is comfortable, and we can see the ocean from our couch, replied his wife. We have love and laughter and paintings of birds and a fluffy cat, not to mention three beautiful children. But the man wasn't listening. I'm very sad, the man said to his therapist. Why? Asked the therapist. Because I once dreamed that I would grow up to be a great adventurer. Instead, I'm a bald businessman with a bad knee. But the medical supplies you sell have saved many lives, said the therapist. The man, he wasn't listening. So his therapist charged him $110 and sent him home. I'm very sad, the man said to his accountant. Why? Asked the accountant. Because I once dreamed of driving a red Ferrari and of never having to pick up after myself. Instead, sometimes I have to take public transportation, and I still have to clean up. You wear good suits, you eat at fine restaurants, and you've toured Europe, said his accountant. But the man wasn't listening. His accountant charged him $100 anyway, because the accountant was dreaming of a red Ferrari. I'm very sad, the man said to his minister. Why? Asked the minister. Because I once dreamed of having three sons, a great scientist, a politician, and a quarterback. Instead, I have three daughters, and the youngest can't even walk. But your daughters are beautiful and intelligent, said the minister. They love you very much, and they've all done well. One is a nurse, another is an artist, and the youngest teaches music to children. But the man wasn't listening. He was so sad that he became very sick. He lay in a white hospital room surrounded by nurses in uniforms. Tubes and wires connected his body to blinking machines that he once sold to the hospital. He was sad. His family, friends, and minister gathered around his bed. They were all deeply sad, too. Only his therapist and his accountant were happy. Then one night, when everyone except the nurses had gone home, the man said to God, "Remember when I was a boy and I told you all the things that I wanted?" "It was a lovely dream," said God. "Why didn't you give me those things?" the man said. "I could have," said God, "but I wanted to surprise you with things you didn't dream of. I suppose you've noticed what I've given you, a kind, beautiful wife, a good business, a nice place to live, three lovely daughters, one of the best packages I've ever put together." "Yes," interrupted the man, "but I thought you were going to give me what I really wanted." "And I thought you were going to give me what I really wanted," said God. "What did you want?" asked the man. It had never occurred to him to ask God what God wanted. "I wanted to make you happy with what I'd given you," said God. That night, the man lay in the dark, thinking. Finally, he decided to dream a new dream, one that he had wished he had dreamt years before. He decided to dream that what he wanted most were the things that he already had. And the man got well, and he lived happily on the 47th floor, enjoying his children's beautiful voices, his wife's deep brown eyes, and her glorious paintings of birds. And at night, he gazed at the ocean and contentedly watched the lights of the city twinkling on and off one by one. Would you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Lord God, we pray to not have anything lead us away from you, from your feet. Martha didn't do a bad thing. She did a good thing. But even with a good thing, there's always a better thing. And the better thing is to be before you. We thank you for your love, for your kindness to us, for your graciousness in giving us not all that we wanted or asked for, but for what you wanted for us. Help us to grow in our contentment as we are before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.